Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found on page 796 in your pew Bibles. And we read Isaiah 66, beginning at verse 10. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her. That you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse. You shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass. And the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. And he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6, page 1247, and we read selected verses beginning at verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Continuing at verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, or I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is written.
Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1110, and we read Luke 10, beginning at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is from your gospel reading, the sending of the 72 out to preach the gospel. And in particular, this word from Jesus as he was sending them out. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. This is our text. When you have a long academic career, such as preparing for the office of holy ministry, it has many different effects upon your life, including your dream life. And that's especially true if, like myself, you want to be a high-grade achiever. If you settle for B's and C's, maybe you wouldn't have these dreams. But I was that guy where I considered a B on my academic record to be a horrible stain. And so when finals would come along and I'd slip off to sleep, I'd have this dream. In the dream, I would be opening one of my notebooks and just looking over my class schedule, trying to figure out what I wanted to study for first. And as I'm looking at my class schedule, I realize there is a class that I haven't attended all year. I forgot I took this class. Finals are coming. I haven't been to the class. I don't even know what to study. It's too late to drop the class. I am going to fail. And I would wake up in a panic and a cold sweat and thankfully realize it was just a dream. Now, am I crazy or has anybody else ever had that kind of dream? Actually, quite a few. I guess I'm not that crazy. Well, when our Lord is sending out the 72, I think they must have had that kind of same feeling as he tells them how they are to start on their journey. Now, granted, they were, if you will, well prepared in terms of teaching. They had been attending their classes with the Lord for some time now. But what they weren't prepared for is how to meet the world. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. That was not an exaggerated analogy that our Lord was making. When you look at all the Gospels and try to piece together a chronology of the life of Jesus, one of the things that becomes clear is that by this time in his ministry, there was great opposition to his teaching. Already, there were threats to his life. And so you can well imagine that there were threats to the life of Jesus. Those going out and preaching in his name would also be placing their lives at risk. Indeed, Jesus makes it clear that as they go out preaching the gospel, there are going to be places that are going to reject them and want nothing to do with them or his message. But not only is he sending them out into a, if you will, dangerous world. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. He's sending them out penniless. Not even an extra set of clothes or shoes to wear. How many of you would like to go to China with that kind of preparation? Sending them out into an antagonistic world with no means of supporting themselves at all? I'll bet they thought they were dreaming. But that's what Jesus wanted them to do. Upon their return, however, if there were fears in their heart at the beginning of their journey, those fears dissipated. Oh, I'm sure most of them encountered opposition here and there. They also realized they were going into a world where there were people craving to hear the gospel that Jesus had taught to them. The good news of forgiveness, the hope of eternal life. When they come back, they're filled with joy. And also surprised at the power that they have to cast out demons. And Jesus tells them they'll be able to do even greater things. They will be able to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. But then he adds this cautionary note. Yeah, we can become excited over having certain powers. But the thing about this world is that power is often very fleeting. The world chases after power and control. We all want to know and understand where our life is headed. We all want to be able to control the things that are around us. We don't want to be at the mercies of the world. We want to be in charge of it. But as we all know, not only in the days of Jesus was there opposition to his message, there is still opposition today. We live in a very angry culture, in a culture where many people feel despair and have no hope because they chase after things like control and power. We all want to be able to tell other people what to do and expect them to do it. We like to be in charge of our own lives and not at the mercies of the whims of others, but that's not the way life works out. And if your goal in life is to get the world to bend to your will, you're going to soon find out it doesn't work that way. And anger ensues. You realize that things like power and control, though we chase after them, simply are not achievable. While Jesus was giving his disciples great authority and power, that's not what he wanted them rejoicing about. But that their names are written in heaven. Because that is a prize that the world can never take from us. And it is the message that they were to bring to the world they lived in. And it's the message that we are to bring to the world that we live in. Yes, there is opposition to that message. But sometimes I think we become too focused on the opposition to what we preach and teach and fail to focus on the opportunities that are all around us. As Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are people in this world who are craving certainty. In a world where nothing seems certain, there are people seeking a hope that can't be taken away. There are people needing to know they're forgiven. There are people needing to know that ultimately there's nothing to fear because God is with us. And God will equip us to do whatever His will is in His life. That was Jesus' message to his disciples as he was sending them out. I'm sure somebody looked at him amongst the 70 and said, "Are you kidding? You want me to go on this trip with nothing?" And my friends, God never asks us to do anything that he doesn't equip us also to accomplish. If he tells you to share, he'll give you what you need. If there's somebody who needs help, that you know God would want you to do something about, don't waste around time wondering, "Well, how am I going to get this accomplished?" Dig in and offer yourself. There are things around us each and every day where we can be God's witness in the world to others. Things we can do, things we can say, things we can share. And yes, there are going to be times when people are going to be resistant to what we have to offer in our Savior Jesus Christ. But in this angry world, in this world full of despair, there are also people craving what we have. A certain hope of eternal life. A certain knowledge that our sins are forgiven. A certain knowledge that we don't have to worry about tomorrow because we know a loving and gracious God will be there to help and support us. As God sent out the 70, so he also sends us out to bring that message of hope to the world around us. And when we do bring that message and we see lives changed, it will bring unto us great joy. But the greatest joy we can have is something we already possess. It's that sweet knowledge that our names are written in heaven through the death and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God for that sweet knowledge. But don't keep it to yourself. Share it with the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.